accession number 20461, reel 3.
I'm Dawn, reel 3. Now, you told me that you took to army life quite easily.
Easily, yes.
But did you find a problem with things like lack of privacy or the discipline?
No, I didn't. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I felt fit. In fact, the PT sergeant, every so often they used to weigh us, you know, see how it was. And I'd lost about 3 pounds, and he didn't go much on that. He said, "We've got to build you up." And his favourite saying was, "Good morning. Good morning." I can't do it like he did. It was something like this: A and B to the wall bars, C and D to the bench and move. I said, that was his favourite saying. I said, he was about 16 stone. So where they found him, I don't know. But he was good. Yeah. He was a reservist, I suppose, called up.
So did you have regular kit inspections or things like that?
No, not really. We had the inspections more or less to show us how to make a bed, how to clean your boots, how to clean your rifle, all that sort of thing.
So how did you make the bed? Was there a routine that you had to do?
It, as I remember now, it's a long time ago, but just a straightforward... we didn't have sheets, just have ordinary blankets, 3 blankets, tucked in, and then in the morning you just folded them up in stacked them in threes. That's quite simple, really.
And with cleaning your boots, was there any methods that you used to get them?
Well, yes, we used to, of evenings, some of the NCOs used to come round. If they weren't going anywhere, I said they'd come in and sit there and show you how to burnish your toe caps. Yeah, like put your polish on with the wet, damp cloth, and then wasn't supposed to do it, but we used to just put a match to it and burn on some surface leather, and then they used to bring up a nice polish. Yeah. The Sergeant Major did say to me on the square one day, come along, he said, checking our boots on parade. And he came along and he looked at mine and he looked up in the air. Oh dear, oh dear. I wish they'd send me down some proper soldiers. He said, look at my boots. Look. I said, I looked at them. He said, you'll never have boots like that. I said, no, sir. He said, shut up. That was the sergeant. RSM. Yeah. Yeah. But as I say, he was all right, really. But he was just trying to wake out and get back in there and do them again and do them again and do them again.
And you were issued with your uniform.
Yes. Yes, it was... which we had to put together, straps and brain gun pouches, fix them all together, and scabbard for your bayonet. I said, yeah, and of course we had battle dress, and that was a thing that took a long time to get right, because with the putties had to be wrapped in such a fashion that there was a V where the tapes came away from the putty, that had to be in line with the right hand side of the side of your leg, had been spot on. And it, when you went out to go outside the barracks, that was checked before you went outside by the guard. Yeah, that was another. But that was a pop. No, it was all right.
What would happen if they weren't correct?
Go back and do it again. Yeah, oh yeah. Go back in and do it again. Yeah. And
when you were issued with the battle dress, did it fit? Were you measured for it?
No, just go in there and Yeah, what size you chatted, I said you just check it and pick it up and take it into your barrack, in the barrack room. But I remember one thing, we had to report at 2 or 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon as our first entrance to the barracks. I said, and they started being issued with kit straight away. I got my kit on, with three of us, decided to go into Maidstone for a walk round, and when we come outside the barracks and walk down the street, first thing is, "Hello, mates, what do you think of your monkey suits?" I said, that was a civilian. I said, but bearing in mind that Maidstone was an army town, so he was probably an ex-soldier or something. I said, but when that our photographs taken, I says, and God, it was horrible. I said, you know, you took your photograph and they gave it to you. I said, no, I look like, I said, oh, Dracula. That's what I thought. So I said, that was it. I said, within a few pints. And then we had a brainwave after about a couple of weeks, begin to realise that Rochester wasn't far away. I said, so when we was out till 11:59, we hired a car in Maidstone, and one of the chaps drove us to our own addresses and picked us up, got us back there by 11:59. So that was all right, made it well worthwhile.
So you were actually allowed out during that period of basic training?
Certain times, yeah. Certain times you're allowed out, yeah. It went a bit easy with us. But, oh yeah, that was all right. We enjoyed it, but I say, time was going then was getting tougher training, bayonet training down in the fields.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because you were issued with rifles. What was the procedure with issuing you with a rifle? Were you given a specific rifle?
Yeah, the old Lee Enfield 303s. Yeah. Matter of fact, I don't know to this day. We had dummy rounds, a bandolier of 50 dummy rounds. And when we were training, I said, you used to check your rounds after you'd finished. And I don't know what I said to this day, I don't know, but my rounds went missing. 50 rounds went missing. And I was in a bit of a panic. That's the only thing that really worried me. Well, when the UTA went, the siren went for on September the 3rd, about 11 o'clock, we all started to make a move. I had to go down to the tunnels, down in the fields, in the trenches. And as I was going through the different barrack rooms, I was looking. I said, I found a bandolier of 50 rounds. So I got that. I said, no, I was all right then. Someone left theirs there. And I grabbed them.
So you'd got out today. What was your first experience of firing a rifle?
Well, once again, we used to. I had air rifles. My father had air rifles, and that. So that wasn't. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah, you know, so we started with the on the 30 yards range down in the barracks. That was all right. I enjoyed that. That's the only thing is when you said load, when you fell down, you had your body had to be oblique to the, instead of being straight on, you had to put your legs had to be around there. I said these sergeants used to come around and kick them, get them round like that. So she was. You know, that sort of thing.
Oblique to the target.
Yes, that was the only thing.
And how do you fire a rifle?
How do you fire a rifle? What do you mean?
How do you aim it? And
oh, I tell you,
is there a technique?
Oh yes, you come up there with your fullest extent and bolt action, put your round into the barrel. You take aim, and what you do, you put your foresight in line with the centre of the target, but they don't always follow, because all rifles have to be checked by an armourer to see whether they fire left, right, up or down. But our rifle was straight out of the armoury, so you didn't know where he was going. But that's the, I used to put four sight in front as a target, slightly 6 o'clock-ish down a bit, I says, and then line it up with your backsight, you with your backsight, and squeeze. Not. That was it.
And what were you like? What was your shooting like?
I had some good rounds, you know, good... I was average, that's what... that's how it came out, I was average, yeah.
Was there anybody who was particularly good at it?
I don't really know. I'll tell you for why I say that, because... get out of the way. That was that same bloody caller again. Get out of the way. Not to me this time, but another one. He said, God, you're like an old bloody woman. Get out of the way, look. And he took aim. And they all started laughing. Because he was off target. He didn't get a ball. And they all started laughing, and he just walked away. But as I say, all these rifles had to be adjusted to your sight. And that rifle, that was it. You kept that rifle all the time. 2210, my rifle. Yeah, I always remember that. Until they chucked it over the top, coming home from Dunkirk. Then, of course, we used to have Sten guns in that Sten, and do change them over sometimes. You know, take them to the armoury and he'd give you another one. But that was my original rifle, was A2210.
And you did bayonet practice.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you take me through how you did that?
Well, the funniest part about this, we'll go on a bit later, but I used to make the bodies. You know, we're a pioneer. You see, used to make the targets and all that. Yeah, yeah, yes. It was. There's one other thing I've got to tell you now, because it's come to me now. We'll come back to the bayonets. Well, this particular day, we'd done our bayonet drill, and they said, right, respirators on, and they dotted round the field down in the barracks there. They dotted a bloke, extreme left, extreme right, two in the middle, back to the... this point here, and it was right. I want you to pass this word on now. I'm going to advance. Can you send reinforcements? Off you go.
So you had to go around the whole of the people who were dotted on the field in your respirator.
Back it came. I'm going to a dance. Can you lend us three importance?
That's only one example of what went on.
So you're going to tell me about the bayonet drill?
Oh, yes, right, back to the bayonet drill now.
As I remember now, it was
on guard. Charge. And you went straight down and one, two, pass through. That was it.
So that will be, on guard will be point the rifle?
Yeah, that's right, yeah, on guard, yeah. So you'd have your rifle here like this here. Yeah, on guard.
So up to your chest?
Yes, advance. Then you start running and shouting and, you know, whatever you like. Make as much noise as you can. And pass through.
So you would jab it into the target?
Yeah, you had about, probably about 10 of you, all charging together. And of course, sometimes that does happen. Some bus goes through the wrong channel. That used to please old Sergeant Major, that did, yeah. They'd be surprised, but as I say, well, I enjoyed it. And of course, especially no dinner time's just coming up, that sort of thing, you know. You go back in there and get all your gear off and lay on your bed and go and have your food and come back, you had about another half hour on the bed and then back out again, training, you know, marching up and down, map reading, all that sort of thing.
So did you train with any other weapons? Did you use hand grenades?
Oh, crikey, yes. The old 36 mils.
Can you take me through using one of those?
You go down in a trench, and then each one would be said, right, you. And all you do is just pull the pin out, count over there. A lot of duds, of course, of dud grenades, yeah.
Was there a delay on the fuse?
A 10 second, that seems to come to mind, but as I say, a long time ago now, 10 seconds, yeah. We used a lot of them at Cohima. Yeah, we used a hell of a lot of them.
But you used them while you were a militiaman as well earlier, had you?
In the desert, we used to carry three, and then of course, one night down come Winkle Watts. He said, "The tanks are coming down here presently. Now, what I want you to do is stick these bombs as they come by. Stick these sticky bombs. Stick them on the German tanks." Yeah. You know, it's so matter of fact.
So did you train with anything else? Did you train with the Bren gun at all?
Oh, the Bren, yeah. Stripping the Bren, cleaning it and that. Yeah. And then another incident. I don't know, have you ever heard of the boys' anti-tank rifle? You have. We're in France. And the Baron was going along the roses. Righto, Mitchell. Take the anti-tank. Bloody thing. And along came, he got killed, by the way, this officer. I can't think of his name now, but he was another gentleman, as I call him. And as he went by, I said, "Sir, yes, why do they call this a boy's anti-tank rifle? It's just bloody enough for a bloody man to carry it." He laughed his head off. I will probably remember his name, but he was all right. As I say, he was our company officer.
Had you practiced with that in your training then, the boys?
Blimey, yes, we had them down there as well. Yeah.
So what was
the they were the worst ones. I didn't like them. They told us a cock and bull yarn with them. Yeah, this is a fact. They said they'd go through 5 feet of concrete. Well, our bloody two-pounder anti-tanks wouldn't go through it. We went to France, 2-pounder anti-tanks, and the boys. That's all we had.
What was the boys like to use then? Huge recoil.
Yeah. In fact, with an anti-tank rifle, if you were, you know, scared of it, you're in trouble. You had to make sure you got it in there, because if you just, you know, you really hurt your shoulder.
Was there any injuries?
Lots of chaps didn't take it seriously, especially the first time they fired them. Yeah, well, nobody liked an anti-tank rifle. Nobody.
Was it accurate at all?
I don't really know, Tudge. I never fire one in anger, put it like that. I don't know. We all the same. It lowered your morale. Because, you know, we never had them in Burma. Never had them. No.
Now, you mentioned in your training earlier on that you did gas training.
Yes. We used to go into in the barracks there, a building. You go in there first.
William Mars, Gas Mars one. Get, we always call them. My mate Danny Ritwood, it's another story really, but I've got to tell you it as it comes. We had to go out to one of the companies to do, I forget what it was now, something we had to do. And we was out there on our own. They were out. They'd gone out training. And we was out there, and you're supposed to put your respirator on at a certain time. Where nobody about. We didn't care, see. So we sat on one of the bloke's beds in one of the rooms, sat there, and all of a sudden, oh, bloody. Captain Watts come in. Where he sprung from, we don't know, of course. Of course, we had to go up for the CO. And Danny Rickwood, he said, I didn't put my gas mast. He said, what? So I didn't put my gas mask on because I didn't know the time, sir. He said, what did you say? And the Sergeant Major pushed him. He said, what are you talking about? He said, oh, sorry, sir, I couldn't remember. Respirator. Yeah, Danny Rickwood. Yeah, well, I think we got 7 days, I think. Both of us.
Was it important to use the right terminology in the Army? Did you say?
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was it.
Was that same?
He was another comic, see, a bit of a comic, and we used to joke about these things, and of course he'd come out, automatically come out, gas masked. He's the one who cried, by the way.
So during this period, had you done any, like, guard duties?
Oh, yes, I was on the gate there at in Maidstone, yeah. Oh, the Army, yes, a brigadier came in one time, and I had to call the guard out. We've been briefed, you know, well briefed, you know. We do mock and say, here comes a brigadier, or here comes a major, or whatever. And you, for that sort of thing, for a brigadier or anybody higher rank, you had to call the guard out.
And what would that entail?
Just say, guard, was it guard, guard turn out, but I thought it was something else before that. Guard turn out, and they all come running out. And he'd stand there, so he'd get out of his car and stand there till, yeah. And then he'd walk in and say, carry on. And he'll fold back, dismiss, go back in. Yeah, I had that once. That was some officer, some higher rank with the rib. Yeah, but, you could, when you're on guard, you can march up and down outside, you know. You had a place to march up and down and a little sentry box. Yeah, I didn't like that very well. Yeah, but once you've done it, you know, you're all right. So that initial, yeah.
And had they used your skills during your basic training as a carpenter for anything?
Not in the training. Not until I went to join the battalion. Nothing in the barracks, no. No, we did... when we got to down there, of course, everything changed, you see. It was blackouts, making blackouts, targets, putting signs on their vehicles, you know, the brigade signs, divvy signs, oh, blimey, yeah, sandblasting the helmets, yeah. Used to get this certain paint, do a brand new helmet and just paint over it, and then you'd splash it with sand. That's what it called, sandblasting. We used to do all them. Yeah. Yeah, we were quite busy.
And you said you used to go out into Maidstone while you were doing basic training. Did you? How did you get on with the locals there?
Well, strangely enough, when the war, as I say, when the war got going, we I told you that they put us down in the stables for our food. We were went in civvy digs. Yeah, it's just about. A quarter of a mile away, yeah. Yeah, she was, her husband was in the 2nd Battalion at Malta. Yeah.
Was it very much a garrison town?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. Everywhere he went, there were soldiers.
Was there any trouble between the soldiers and civilians?
Not to my knowledge, no. Well, as I say, I didn't spend a lot of time in Maidstone. Like every opportunity I had, I was home. Yeah. It was a bit of luck. Yeah.